Okay, I bring to order the meeting of the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance Committee on the 29th of February 2012. And Mr. Sparby, would you take the role?
Chairman Cornish?
Here.
Vice Chairman Woodard?
Here.
Representative Mullery? Representative Dowd?
Here.
Representative Gauthier?
Here.
Representative Grunhagen?
Here.
Representative Hilty? Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Kelly? Representative Kiefer? Representative Kriesel?
Here.
Representative Leidiger? Representative Mariani? Representative McDonald?
Here.
Representative Moran?
Here.
Representative Nornes?
Here.
Representative Slocum? Representative Smith?
Here.
Okay, quorum being present. Does somebody want to offer the or move the minutes of February 28th?
Move.
Three people move. Representative Gauthier moves the minutes of February 28th. Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Members, first thing we want to do is to could have the two pages come up front here. We've got some things to hand out here. Last year I went hunting and shot a bear, and I had it reduced into sausage, and so today we're going to bring treats. We can start one at each end of the table. I thought I was going to let you eat it and then tell you what it was afterwards, but because people usually, if they see bear, they just don't eat it because it's bear. If you don't tell them to eat it, it's the best meat they ever had, then you tell the bear, they go, whoa. No. And just take one piece, please, so we got enough to go around for the latecomers.
Do you have
and
any
then if we
cheese
could,
here?
What's that?
Do you have any cheese?
No, unfortunately, crackers, anything. But if members could try to be on time, we would like to have started right at 10:15 today. And the from now on, the anybody that's late has to do 20 push-ups. The DFL has to do 40. Okay. On the agenda today is Representative Doubt's bill, House File 2080. And what we'd like to do, so people know full well, and I let the DFL lead know, the reason the bill is here, Representative Doubt's Bill 2080, is because there was a couple of items in there that our committee was to address. Representative Doubt would like to take those two items out with an amendment and then just move it on to Health and Human Services. So the people that wanted to testify pro or con in the bill will still get their chance, but the only things that we were interested in brought it here we're going to be removing, so we would like to just get the DFL that's okay with us to do that and move it on and not take any public testimony today. Representative Doubt, do you like to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to move House File 2080 and recommend that it be recommended to pass and move to HHS Finance.
And do you have any amendments?
I do. I have the A2 amendment, and that would get the bill in the shape that we want it.
Okay, you'd like to move that amendment then?
Yes.
Representative Doubt would like to move the A2 amendment to this House File 2080. And any discussion on that first? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we have the bill before us, and if it's okay with the DFL members, what we'd like to do is, since we have no parts of interest here left for us, we'd like to move it to House and Human Services Committee. Okay.
Johnson?
We had a question? Oh, Representative Johnson, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the Chair, I guess, or Representative Doubt. If these items get placed back in again some way along the way, can we expect the bill back here then?
Representative Doubt, could you answer that?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative, I have no intention of putting those things back into the bill, but if for some reason they end up back in, absolutely. I just want you to know it's not my intent to do that. So.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any more discussions, questions? If not, Representative Doubt, would you like to renew your motion, House File 2080 as amended?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, I would renew my motion that House File 2080 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to Health and Human Services Finance Committee.
Okay, committee has heard the motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, thank you, Representative Doubt. Now, what's going to do my bill? Okay, I'll have the chair take over for me, and I'll present the bill.
Chair Cornish, you have House File 2373. Would you like to move that bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to move House File 2373 be recommended to pass and move to the General Register.
Okay. Chair Cornish moves House File 2373 and recommends its passage and sent to the General Register. Chair Cornish, to your bill.
Mr. Chair and members, this House File 2373 is a pretty straightforward bill that would add sheriff, deputy sheriff, or county recorder to the list of officials against whom the Uniform Commercial Code fraudulent filings are made to be considered a felony. Lately, there's a trend to target officials with fraudulent lawsuits and plug up the court system and cost a lot of money. And there's a certain number of people that are already protected from that, and we'd just like to add sheriff, deputy sheriff, or county recorder to that list of officials. And I have with me Sheriff Stanek of Hennepin County would like him to be able to testify in front of you about the bill, if that would be okay.
Okay, Sheriff Stanek, please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much. My name is Rich Stanek, Sheriff of Hennepin County. I'm also here on behalf of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association who support this bill. First off, Mr. Chair, members, thank you to Representative Cornish for taking the leadership in moving this bill forward, and of course, John Choi, the Ramsey County Attorney, for having the courage both to come here today before your committee, which is easy enough, but also the courage to prosecute the individuals that led really to us coming before your committee this morning. When I decided to run as sheriff of Hennepin County, I knew that there were certain risks that go along with that. And as a licensed peace officer, we also knew that each and every day we as sheriffs come across folks who probably would rather that we weren't enforcing the laws of this state and what we do in our individual counties. In my 28 years of law enforcement, I always knew that part of the job is putting yourself into situations that involve risk and relying on our training and your partners to keep you safe. But under the law, part of the sheriff's statutory responsibilities include civil process, including foreclosing on people's properties and even forcibly removing them if necessary. And our deputies have very good training and equipment that helps protect them when they're required to carry out these laws, Mr. Chair and members. But what we don't have are laws that protect our own personal property from recourse of these disgruntled citizens. Beginning in 2009, my wife and I became the victims of fraudulent liens filed against our personal assets. I believe there's a news article in your packet this morning that really lays it out, kind of summarizes the case or the investigation and the outcome. Tom and Lisa Eilertson were the individuals. They were prosecuted by County Attorney Choi, were convicted. They were there on behalf of a group called Blessings of Liberty, which would be akin to a sovereign individual. These liens were filed by parties about $114 billion worth. And, you know, initially how we got into this was they were foreclosed on by the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. Our deputies went out under Minnesota law as the sheriff's statutory authority and ended up removing them from their property. These bogus liens were filed against our personal property because the party in question was really unhappy with their situation and wanted to retaliate in some way. And so they did so by filing paper, quote unquote, against all the public officials that they came into contact with. And although fraudulent filings against anyone is against the law, it's a gross misdemeanor. Now, Minnesota law currently, members, recognizes the need to provide greater protection to county attorneys and other officers of the court in these matters. What this proposed legislation before you today does, though, is would add sheriffs and county recorders to that which fraudulent filings would be a felony under Minnesota law. Secondly, it also recognizes the role that sheriff's offices and county recorders have in financial transactions in Minnesota. And with that, Mr. Chair, members, I'm happy to take questions at the end of our testimony, but I want to turn it over to our Ramsey County Attorney John Choi, to discuss the particular case and his perspective on this.
John. Mr. Choi, before you begin your testimony, I'm going to take a chair's privilege here and recognize some members of Artec Charter School who are here from Northfield, Minnesota, which happens to also be in my district. So I thank you guys for being here and hope you learned something this morning. Mr. Choi. Mr. Choi, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is John Choi, the Ramsey County Attorney, and I wanted to be here today specifically to support this legislation. I wanted to just also first, before I start my remarks, to just make clear this is actually still a pending case, so I don't really want to go into the real particulars of the case that's pending in Ramsey County right now. But this case was first brought to my attention back in 2009, and the St. Paul Police Department has put an extensive amount of time in investigating this. But I describe what is happening to a lot of victims, and these victims are essentially just doing their job as public servants as a part of a judicial proceeding. But I describe it as really what amounts to be paper terrorism against individuals for just exercising the authority of the courts and the things that public servants need to do on a day-to-day basis. And it was kind of interesting when we filed these complaints in Ramsey County, there was a discussion within our office about any type of retaliation that might happen to any of the prosecutors that would be working on this case. Thankfully for us, there are protections in state law, and so I think this would be a very important expression of public policy to specifically include those individuals that are not included under the provisions that allow for a felony prosecution to occur. We do believe, though, that the current law does allow us to proceed against the current defendant, obviously, under the theory that they're interfering with a judicial proceeding. But I think it's very important to expressly state, who's included in this law and who's protected, so that from the standpoint of somebody who's looking to do this or somebody who is within public service, that they know that they're either being protected by the law specifically, or if you are someone thinking about doing something like this, you know that it's very clear about who's protected under the law. So as someone who has been involved with this case for quite some time, I encourage the legislature to support this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Choi. Are there any other members of the public who would like to testify? Okay, seeing none, any questions from members? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the author, Representative Cornish. In the event of cities, sometimes the councils have to condemn a piece of property for a blighted area or a home, and wondering if under the law they would be protected too, or just those who are listed in sections 114 through 1.22.
Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, if I could let Mr. Choi answer that, that would be.
Mr. Choi, go ahead.
Well, those individuals would not specifically probably be included unless somehow we could develop a legal theory that they were involved with a judicial proceeding. I think that would probably be difficult. So I think you could probably come up with many individuals that aren't included in this bill, and you could include them, but that's just a larger debate that you'd have to have. I think this is a very narrow, specific thing that probably addresses the issues that were involved with this specific Eilertson case, where there were specific individuals not specified by statute, although we do believe that the current statute does allow for us to proceed on felony prosecution based upon a broader theory, but more specifically, I think it would be a better expression of public policy to include sheriffs and county recorders, but it's up to the legislature to really determine whether or not they want to expand that to other situations, because oftentimes we see when there are public servants who are exercising their official authorities or capacities, we're always subject to somebody doing something like this.
Representative McDonald?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I know the answer to this, but just under the scenario, is it possible for this situation that happened to Sheriff Stanek and others, that it could happen to a public official in a city under that circumstances that I addressed?
Sure, Troy?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that could be a possibility. Sure, certainly.
Representative McDonald?
No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, would you like to renew your motion, Chair Cornish?
Yes. We did state that the Sheriff's Association is in formal support.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Chair and members, I'd like to move House File 2373 be recommended to pass and move to the General Register.
Okay. Chair Cornish renews his motion to move House File number 2373 and recommends its passage and be put on the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
There's no business. Okay. Our next meeting of the Public Safety Committee will be on Thursday, March 1st, right here in the same room, same time. Meeting is adjourned.